Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. Our guest today is Kanchan Koya, a Harvard-trained molecular biologist, a wellness-obsessed mom, and the creator of Spice Spice Baby, a platform dedicated to bringing to light the healing power of spices. With her new book, Spice Spice Baby, 100 Recipes with Healing Spices for Your Family Table, the first-of-its-kind cookbook, Kanchan starts to demystify some of these pieces of information about science-backed health benefits of all the spices that you hear about and how you can use them in recipes that your whole family will love. So Kanchan, thank you so much for coming to talk with us today.
Thank you for having me.
I think that often in America, we talk a lot about what kids will and won't eat, and we don't often hear the words spice and baby in the same sentence. So you're already doing something that I think is really exciting and new to a lot of parents. Can you talk a little bit about sort of the methodology and the research behind the campaign that is Spice Spice Baby?
Yeah, sure. You're absolutely right. Spices and baby in the same sentence often evoke some serious eyebrow raises. So, you know, I think, that was really what inspired me to get going. So I grew up in India, and in India and many other parts of the world where spices are just an integral part of the kitchen, babies are offered what everybody else eats. And that's how I grew up. I don't, you know, think food was really cooked separately for the kids. And so I never thought anything about the fact that I had been exposed to these ancient, magical, healing spices from the get-go until I found myself as a mom in New York City, you know, several decades later, deciding what to feed my son, who was just starting solids. And I spoke to my pediatrician here in Brooklyn, and she was like, you know, anything except for honey is fair game. Honey is often avoided before 12 months because of botulism concerns. So, yeah, so I was like, okay, great. So I'm going to make him, you know, pear puree. And why don't I throw in some ground cardamom because it's so fragrant and it's good for digestion and it'll just make the puree more interesting. And so I started doing that very organically. And I found, to my surprise, that several of my mom friends who were not of Indian origin, but, you know, very progressive and very curious, were tremendously intrigued by what I was doing and a little concerned and confused and, you know, just thought that baby bland is best for babies. And I think that was what planted the seed in my head to create this kind of educational platform to demystify these amazing ingredients and to also just encourage and inspire parents to offer their kids a wide variety of flavors and foods. You know, I really think that we do have a bit of a sort of picky eating crisis in the West, where we have these kids' menus that are so uninspiring, frankly, not very healthy. And so I just felt like, you know, I could be part of this movement to raise more adventurous and healthy eaters by focusing on these amazing ingredients that are spices.
I love the idea that by starting babies out really early with some of these flavors, they kind of get used to them and they become a part of their palate and a part of their preferences. But what about maybe older kids or even some of us that are not kids but are still kind of unsure about some of these foods, some of these spices? What are a few of the tricks that you give people or what are some of the recipes that you think are really accessible that are a good entry point for parents of kids who they think would never eat this stuff?
Right. So I think one of the reasons that perception is so strong held is because people think of spices as spicy. So they think all spices are spicy and hot. And so if I don't like hot stuff, I'm not going to like spices. The reality is most spices are not spicy. They're aromatic and flavorful in a different way. I mean, cayenne pepper and the chili pepper family and maybe black pepper are the only really hot spices. So I always suggest that you start out with the aromatic spices, which, you know, the first ones that come to mind that everybody knows and loves is cinnamon. So we know that cinnamon has umpteen health benefits. It's great at blood sugar control. It has anti-cancer properties, antimicrobial properties. It's really like an amazing spice. And so I encourage people to try and find something called true cinnamon, which comes from the island country Sri Lanka, also known as Ceylon. And you can find that at Whole Foods. Several top spice brands now make it. And the reason I encourage people to start with true cinnamon or Ceylon cinnamon over regular cinnamon, which is also called cassia cinnamon, for any spice nerds listening, is because cassia cinnamon has a liver toxin called coumarin in kind of high amounts. So if you use it all the time, which I think you should, because it's incredibly beneficial and so wonderful to add flavor and excitement to so many kind of daily dishes, you're better off using the true cinnamon, which has negligible or no coumarin, which is the liver toxin that I mentioned. So that would be a tip. Use cinnamon, find true cinnamon or Ceylon cinnamon, and simple things like oatmeal. If you make overnight oats or warm porridge in the morning, throw in some cinnamon. You make a smoothie, throw in some cinnamon. Anytime you have anything that is kind of high in sugar, even if it's natural fruit-based sugar, cinnamon is going to be a nice way to prevent that blood sugar spike that we all want to avoid. So that's one spice to start with because it's just so easy and everybody tends to love it. It's also, I wanted to say, we tend to, these spices, you can play around with them. So cinnamon also works really well in savory dishes. We often do Taco Tuesday in my house with my kids. And these are older, my son is now 6. So to your point about older kids, we do a beef mix with sort of some vegetables thrown in. And I put cinnamon in the beef, and sounds weird, but it's absolutely delicious. A lot of cultures use meat and cinnamon together. Don't box yourself and encourage people to play around. The other really nice spice that you can start with that is pretty pleasing to all palates in my experience is turmeric. It's also all the rage now in health circles, and rightfully so. It has such a wide range of health benefits. And it actually doesn't taste like too much. It has a bit of an earthy taste, but it's pretty inoffensive. Babies don't even notice it. So if you're going to make some kind of, rice pilaf with vegetables, you could add turmeric when you add the vegetables to the oil. So another thing that we do with turmeric is put it in scrambled eggs. So simple things that you make every day. I think one of the reasons people shy away from spices is because they think they have to make something incredibly complex and kind of involved. But what I try to show in the book is how you can take some daily dishes, daily family favorites, and spice them up. Turmeric popcorn is another great idea, and kids love it too.
Before we continue, a quick word from our Clever Cookster podcast sponsor. Are you looking for an easy way to batch cook healthy food at home? Whether you're cooking chicken, seafood, veggies, or anything else, Joule Sous Vide is the tool for you. Joule heats food to the exact right temperature and holds it there, so it's hot and ready to serve whenever you're ready to eat. There's no guesswork, and nothing is ever over or undercooked. Whether you're making chicken for 2 or pulled pork for 20, the process is easy and reliable. You can even save time by cooking right from frozen. Just drop vacuum-sealed frozen protein right into the pot. There's no need to defrost. Joule is small and mighty, so you can cook a lot at once. If you can fit it in a cooler, you can cook it with one Joule. Need inspiration? Cook from over 100 step-by-step recipes in the Joule app. To get yours, visit chefsteps.com/Joule and use the code CLEVER to get $15 off for a limited time. That's chefsteps.com/JOULE, code CLEVER. Joule, perfect food every time. And now, back to our podcast. I love that the book really takes on sort of the whole process of cooking for a family, from baby purees to some of these main dishes like blood orange glazed Chinese 5-spice meatballs sound amazing for a dinner party. So how do you sort of come up with a repertoire of recipes that will get you through weeknight cooking with a kid? And then what are some of the things that you tend to make when you have company or when you want to dress it up a little bit?
So that is exactly what I try to do. Aside from the baby purees, and even for those in the book, I offer tips in which you can add a little bit more spice, a little bit more something, and make it a soup for the family. I really want to move away from this place that we find ourselves in, moms that are just like losing their minds because they're trying to cook something different for every age on the family table. And so that's why that term is in my title. And most of my recipes are meant for all ages. So the Chinese 5-spice meatballs, my 15-month-old now loves as much as my father-in-law. So, you know, we, the way I came up with the recipes was really just to think of things that texture-wise and flavor-wise kind of all ages will enjoy. So, for example, with the meatballs, there's grated apple and carrot in there to lend some sweetness to counteract that Chinese five spice. The texture of the ground meat is very pleasing, even to babies. I was always thinking about how can I simplify a mom's life so that she's not making multiple dishes every day.
You also crowdfunded the project of this cookbook, which is amazing. It started with an Indiegogo campaign in 2017. So what was that process like? And were you surprised with sort of the interest and support and demand in the community for something like this?
I was very excited by the response. I had a feeling there was a huge interest in the community, which is why I decided to go the crowdfunding route versus the traditional publishing route. I felt like every time I had talked about this idea, people were really interested and curious, and especially in the West, they really wanted to get on board with the spices. They just needed a little bit of guidance. I think I was confident there was going to be interest. I was pleasantly surprised that we outraised our funding goal, which we had set as pretty high and ambitious, because that's what we needed to raise to produce a very high quality book. I didn't want the book to look self-published, if you will, and it doesn't. It really does look, I'm going to say beautiful and very appealing to the eye, very, very top quality. And so the raise allowed us to do that. And I was very excited by the response.
What do you say to people who say, oh, my kid could never eat this stuff, or I just have a picky child, or people who feel like this wouldn't work for their family? What do you tell them to kind of get them energized and motivated to try it?
Right. So, you know, my son is the inspiration for this book, and he's in the picture at the beginning in the introduction, and there's plenty of things he doesn't eat. So, you know, it's a learning process, and instead of feeling defeated and disheartened, I encourage parents to remember that it's all about continuous exposure. There are plenty of recipes in the book that are targeted to picky eaters. So, for example, there's a spaghetti bolognese that has cinnamon and paprika to jazz things up a little bit. There's a lot of veggies in there. I try to put veggies in everything because I think that's the problem that we have. You know, kids don't eat enough vegetables. So I try to I don't want to say sneak them in, but incorporate them in tasteful and delicious ways wherever I can. So there are recipes in there that I would guarantee almost any picky child would eat. So that could be a good starting point. And then with some of the other things that your kid doesn't eat, or you feel like, you know, all your kid is going to eat is like plain pasta with butter and cheese forever, it's really about exposure. I mean, studies show it can take 10 to 20 exposures, visual exposure counts. So even if it's just on the plate and the child doesn't even touch it, that's an exposure. And I have seen it with my own kids. My 18-month-old went through a very picky phase recently. I was very stressed out. I'm like, how can I be the spice mama and my kid doesn't want to eat anything? And it was a phase, and I try to stay really kind of unruffled. I kept presenting her with the foods. Eventually, she caught back on. So I've heard that over and over again from so many parents. And so that's why I say, don't give up. Keep exposing wide variety. And you are the model. So if you eat foods and your kids watch you eating them and celebrating them, they are going to catch on. It's just the way it's worked for, you know, through time for civilizations. That's how we've learned to eat.
Thank you so much for coming to talk with us today. It's such a fascinating book and such an important project. So thank you for writing it.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun to talk about it. Thank you.
Check out the book, Spice Spice Baby, 100 Recipes with Healing Spices for Your Family Table. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.